The scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, and it's chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were very terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I mentioned last week that I really, truly believe that my life's calling was to be a pastor, that's what God called me to do and what he intended. And I kind of have a list. I tease people about and say things like, "I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, but until then I'll keep doing this." But I do know a number of things that I don't want to do when I grow up. I kind of add to that list, you know, every now and then. I won't give you the whole list, but just a couple of things that I really don't want to do when I grow up. One is learn to tape drywall. You know, tried that a couple times, and I just leave that to other folks because that's really, I don't want to do hog confinement either. I experienced that through my son. Nah, I'd rather not, actually. I don't want to be a steel worker that puts up tall buildings because I function better with my feet closer to the ground. And that's, yeah, I'm just admitting my fear there. But I really do better with my feet, you know, somewhat closer to the ground. I also don't want to be a landlord. No, thank you. I'll just say it that way. No thanks. And I think another thing that most of us probably wouldn't have wanted to do was be a shepherd in biblical times. We can probably romanticize that somehow. And we get we see the pictures of the cute, cuddly little lambs and stuff and think that somehow it might have been fun or whatever, but I don't think so. The more I read, the more I learn about what shepherds really went through. I would rather let somebody else do that, actually. But I think the example that the shepherds in Bible times give to us is pretty powerful. And as we continue through this Advent, through this Christmas season, remembering that God gave to us the gift of a Savior, and just thinking about what that means in our lives now, I think the shepherds gave to us some pretty good examples that we can apply in our daily lives now. So I'm going to look at that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, the passage that Melody just read for us. She just read it very well, so I'm not going to reread the whole thing, but just a couple of highlights for us. I do want you to look at verse 8. It says, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." You know, you just stop to ponder what the shepherds' lives were really like. They were always outside. Always. Probably didn't have a lot of tents and those kinds of things. They were just outside. Now, you know, in the summer, that might be okay. This time of year, not so much. You know, they were always outside. They had to deal with the weather, whatever the weather was, night, day, and I don't think they had real fancy rain suits and stuff like we have now, where you can be out in bad weather and really not get wet and really stay fairly warm. They were outside night and day. It was their job to be out there with the sheep. They faced dangers as well. Dangers from wild animals that would like to make the cute, cuddly little sheep lunch or dinner or breakfast or whatever. There were dangers from robbers, although none of the shepherds really had much, but the robbers may have been trying to steal sheep. So there were those dangers. It's my understanding that sheep really do not offer stimulating intellectual conversations. So loneliness may have been an issue as well, as the shepherds were out with the sheep, you know, for long, extended periods of time. It would have become rather tedious as well, because they're either following the sheep around or trying to lead the sheep to greener pastures and all. So fairly tedious at that. The pay was fairly low, and they truly were shunned. If they took a break, like took the sheep to market or whatever and had a break and they were in town, they very much were shunned. They smelled like sheep, for one thing, which I understand is not pleasant, so people really didn't want to be around them. Really, the only people lower on the social scale than shepherds were lepers. And people literally would walk on the other side of the street to avoid lepers, and shepherds were just, you know, like a tiny notch above that. They were not respected. They were not trusted at all. They were not allowed to testify in court because they weren't considered trustworthy in any way. They were always ceremonially unclean, so they couldn't take part in the temple sacrifices and worship. They couldn't do those things. They could just hang out with the sheep out there in the country somewhere and not really be in town. And yet when you stop and think, these shepherds were around Bethlehem. Bethlehem was only about 5 miles from Jerusalem where the temple was at. So why were they raising these sheep? Most likely to be used as sacrifices in the temple. You know, most likely they were raising sheep to be slaughtered to take away the sins of the people, to help people in their relationship with God. Their purpose is incredibly noble. Their purpose in raising these sheep had significant spiritual value, and yet the shepherds themselves were shunned. People didn't want any part of them, didn't want them around, and didn't appreciate what they did in raising those animals. So these folks don't have it very good at all. It wasn't a high-paying job. There's no social status to it whatsoever. They weren't welcomed in town. They really couldn't worship publicly. You know, none of the benefits that other people enjoyed did they have. So it's pretty tough in those ways. Yet as I read through this account, four things stood out to me that the shepherds were doing that I think are beneficial and that we need to apply in our lives here at the conclusion of 2011. The first thing that they were doing was watching. And again, as you read in verse 8, they were the shepherds were living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Easy to just read over that and all. They were keeping watch at night, but they also had to keep watch during the day. You know, at some point you would hope they would catch a nap or something once in a while, be able to sleep. But you see, they had to be very, very vigilant, because they didn't want all those lambs to be eaten by wild animals. They didn't want robbers to carry them all away. They had to keep watch. They had to be very vigilant and stay aware and alert. And I think the same is true for us near the end of 2011, that spiritually we need to be watching. We need to be alert. We need to be vigilant about a whole lot of things. I think today more than ever, there are folks who are hostile toward our beliefs, okay? Toward Christianity, toward relationship with God. And oftentimes that hostility is very, very subtle, and yet it's there. And I think there are very subtle little traps that we can fall into, especially this time of year, because there's a myth that's promoted all over the place. And I don't think it's fun. It can be fun for the kids, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But that's not what this season is really about. That myth didn't provide eternal life. That myth didn't die to pay for our sins. You know, so we just need to keep watch and be very vigilant spiritually, that we're not sliding off into things that really have no spiritual benefit for us. In Matthew 24 and verse 42, Jesus says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord may come." We just had a reminder again of how fragile life is and how suddenly it can end. And we have no guarantees about tomorrow. And I don't want to be morbid in saying that at all, but the truth is we are mortal and we have no guarantees. And if we die, I think Scripture clearly teaches that we'll be resurrected when Jesus comes back. And until then, time stops. We don't know anything. We're dead. Okay? So that end can come very quickly. The Lord's return, in a sense, can be very quickly because time would stop at death. We need to keep watch. We need to be vigilant spiritually and stay prepared and stay in a right relationship with God. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter, who was one of the most impetuous of the people in the Bible who would speak before he would think and all those sorts of things, he says, in a much more mature period of his life, he says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So, you know, Peter just kind of gives that idea to us as believers that we're being stalked, you know, that there are dangers all around, prowling around, looking to devour us, and we have to stay alert, have to keep watching spiritually so we're not devoured by evil. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Again, have to watch our lives. I just think back, I shared several weeks ago, the line from the book that my aunt had written that says we need to live what we believe or we start to believe what we live. And I think that's kind of what Paul is saying here. We need to watch our lives and our doctrine closely. It needs to match up with Scripture, not just what we think is right. So what do we need to be watching for? Spiritual dangers? Because they're all around us. In Psalm 101 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "I will set no vile thing before my eyes." How easy it is this time of year to be distracted by all sorts of things that just grab our attention and that are set before our eyes. Need to be watching for spiritual dangers. Secondly, for economic dangers. And I don't need to say a whole lot. You know, it's easy to grab the plastic and swipe it and just keep going and then, you know, look at the devastation later on. But that's not wise to do at all. And thirdly, I think there are some physical dangers. Fatigue or frustrations or fudge. Too much of it anyway. Too much food because, oh man. It just, this time of year, it can become very hectic and very busy and very rushed. And I don't read any of that in Jesus' life. Okay? Even when his best friend died, he didn't rush right there. He waited so that God would be glorified as his best friend was resurrected. Just don't read about rush and hectic things in Jesus' life. Demanding? Yeah. Did he get tired because of the demands of the crowd? Yes. But he's not rushing around like we too often do. So keep watching. Be on guard about those things. In verse 15... again, Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So they were going. They were not just watching, but they were going. As they wandered around with the sheep, or as they led the sheep, they were going. But in this case, they were going in a very deliberate and very purposeful way to see the Christ. They were Jewish. From birth on, they were taught to look for the Messiah. They were taught that the Messiah was coming. And they've just been told that he's been born. And so they're going to see him in a very deliberate and very purposeful way. In this season of the year especially, I think we can go, 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 go. You know, until we're worn to a frazzle. We can go to the mall. We can go to the party. We can go over to our crazy uncle's house. You know, we can do all sorts of stuff. Go, 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 go. The shepherds were going, first of all, to worship, to see the Christ, and to bow down and to praise him. And that, I think, is a great place to go, to worship. We gathered this morning For corporate worship, we worship together. But you can go in a private room, you can go be by yourself, and you can express your heart to God and worship Him as well. And I would encourage you to do that. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Boy, does that sound great. Be still. You think of the kids, you spend the first 2 years of their life trying to teach them to sit up and talk and walk, and the rest of your life trying to teach them to sit down and shut up, right? Amen. I heard that one. But we're the same way. Does God, I think, sometimes wants to tell us, hey, sit down. Be quiet. Be still. Know that He's God and we're not. Psalm 95, 6 and 7, it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the flock under His care." So all those things I said about sheep not being very intelligent and stuff, that probably applies to all of us as God's sheep. Okay, didn't mean to insult you on that. The shepherds were going, but they were going with a very deliberate and specific purpose of worship. That's quieter, I think. That's very specific. It's addressed to God. We need to do that often. Secondly, I think they were going to serve. They were going to serve. They said, "Let's go this thing that we've been told about," and they leave there and they go and share that message with a lot of other people as well, and we'll share that next. In Mark 10 and verse 45, it basically summarizes Jesus' whole life in the Gospel of Mark. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." So the shepherds were serving by providing the sheep for people for sacrifices, and that wasn't even appreciated. And a lot of times, that kind of service is not appreciated, but it's no less important, and it's no less honored in God's sight that we serve in those ways. What Jesus knew was that His life wasn't about Himself. His life was about all of us and paying for our sins. We need to learn that as well, that much of the going that we do in our life is not to be about us, it's to be about other folks as well. You might keep your finger here, but turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 16 through 18. And I just want to mention this guy real quick. He's not exactly a household name, but this is one of my favorite characters. In 2 Timothy 1, this is a young man who served Paul extremely well. And we know Paul, we've heard his name, but a lot of us haven't heard the name Onesiphorus. It's kind of like you just sneezed and somebody needs to say Gesundheit or something. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verses 16 through 18. Just a wonderful example here of service and what it meant to Paul. It says, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus." Paul just says, "God bless Onesiphorus for all he did for me." He said, "He refreshed me. He didn't care that I was a convict. He didn't care I was in chains. No, he just came to Rome and at all kinds of personal risk and without MapQuest and without, you know, a cell phone, without all that kind of stuff. He just looked for me until he found me. And when he found me, he refreshed me. He just made such an incredible positive difference." And he says, "You know how many other ways he helped me?" And he doesn't even elaborate about all those. But you just say, may God grant mercy. May, you know, God bless him for the service that he gave. Well, we know about Paul. We know about his writings. We know about the difference that he made. But what a difference Onesiphorus made in Paul's life to enable him to continue to do the kinds of things that he was doing. Back to Luke chapter 2 in verse 17. "When they had seen him," when the shepherds had seen Christ, "they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." They spread the word. Folks, in this season, what possibly can be more important than that? I mean, what's more important, the myth or the message about Christ? They spread the word. The Jews had been looking for the Messiah their whole life, and they spread the word. They said, he's born. He's here. The angels told us, he's the one. And they spread that word. And I think we can apply that as well. I did my rant a couple weeks ago about saying Merry Christmas, so I'll make it short this morning. Several times people have said to me, Happy Holidays, and I just say Merry Christmas to you too. And if they're offended, so what? You know, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but I don't care. Okay? It's not just Happy Holidays to me. It's about the birth of my Savior. I bear his name. I'm going to say Merry Christmas. And if it comes to the point where I get arrested for it, you know, send me cookies in jail, please. I'm going to keep doing it. Okay? I think we can talk about the birth of our Savior. Okay? It's not just about all the craziness. It's about the fact our Savior was born because we're sinners and he had to die to pay for our sin. That's kind of the dark side of Christmas, but that's what it was about. God loved you and me enough in the despicable shape that we were in of sin to give to us a Savior who was perfect, and he allowed him to die and pay for all of our sins and took care of every detail on our behalf. We can spread that word as well by talking about the birth of our Savior and by talking about how salvation is far more important than whatever the latest electronics are that are being sold. Because whatever electronics you just bought an hour from now, they're out of date because it's already been updated. You know? The computer you just bought is out of date sitting on the shelf because there's a newer, faster model already being made. You know, the video game, they already have version 27 of the same thing. Okay? Those things change. Those things don't last. Our salvation will last for all eternity. They spread the word. I love the text. I put it on your outline in John chapter 1 and verses 40 through 42. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and would follow Jesus. Now notice this next line. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Who's better known? Peter or Andrew? Obviously Peter, right? The first thing Andrew did when he heard that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, was he went and he spread the word and he told Peter and he took Peter to be with Jesus. That's incredible. And Peter's the one that's well known, not Andrew. Andrew's mentioned a couple times. They spread the word. The Messiah, the Christ, is born. We can apply that. Simple ways. Just say Merry Christmas. Just talk about what Christmas is really about. And number four, I thought this was significant. In verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They went, they were watching, they went to see the Messiah, they spread the word, and then they went back to their lives, and no doubt continued to do those same things along the way. You see, until Jesus comes back, we need to keep watching. We need to keep going. We need to keep spreading the word. And then we need to get back to work and back to our lives and back to living as believers in Jesus Christ 24/7. Not just on Sunday morning, not just whenever, but we need to keep living faithfully because that's what we're called to do until Jesus Christ himself comes back. We're to keep bringing Jesus to people that need to know about him. We're to keep telling them about that and then keep going back and keep returning. Because see, we you know, you can't just leave life. You got to return back to work. You got to return back to your family. You got to return back to the things that God calls us to do faithfully. Being in relationship with others, providing for our families, working the best we know how to work. So as you leave here today, take Jesus with you. Return to your life outside these four walls and take Jesus with you and share the true meaning of Christmas. We don't have to be shepherds, thankfully, but we can act just like they did.